You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Join the official fan club of the Cleveland Browns, the Browns Backers. Join now and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, Browns Backer watch parties, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Zagura Wilhelm joined in the dog bowl by right now a very dapper looking Jason Gibbs in a
suit. Hi, boys.
Gibbs, what is going on?
Man, meetings here.
Gibbs, that's a fine.
Meetings
it's
with
a nice,
top men.
A nice shade of pink. You've got the paisley tie. You got a tie clip.
Not going to lie to you. Had some advice from the lady. The lady has
no
a big part.
No handkerchief, though? Tuck?
You know what? I did have the square. I thought about it today. And then I was like, no,
save
I'm not Michael
for a
Reg
wedding
guy.
Or something.
Reg Eye is the only one that can pull that off.
I rock a pocket square from time to time. I can throw a little poof of color in there, Gibbs.
Poof of color is all right. Yeah, along with your little scarf.
A little splash. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Little, you know, yeah, we got to stay warm on the sideline. Got to stay warm. All right, time for After Further Review. Let's get going.
After Further Review.
All right, guys, looking back at last year's free agent signings, one year letter grade, would you give the front office and free agency? What would your letter grade be?
Chris, do you need to buy a vowel?
He doesn't need to buy a vowel.
Well, Jason Gibbs wrote this out, so.
This is a one-year letter. What letter
I'm trying
grade?
To,
so 1 year.
I'm trying to read this on the fly.
Did I totally screw that up?
Oh, yes, you did.
Looking back at last year's free agent signings, one-year letter. Ah, yep. Perfect. That's what happens when you write it in five
Give it a
minutes.
Letter grade.
All right.
My letter grade.
Your letter grade.
I'm going to go B. I think it's a solid B right now.
I'm going to go B as well because I think I love the price that we got Dansby and Whitner and Hawkins at. I think you have to be, or and even say up to this point, you have to be, I guess, okay with the fact that we gave McCown semi-starter money and didn't overpay him as well.
So I'm going to go based on last year's. I'm going to go B+. You got quality starters in Dansby, Whitner, and Hawkins. See, Hawkins was your leading receiver. Whitner played very well. And, of course, Dansby was one of the better middle linebackers in football last year. So I think on that core B+. I mean, who'd you really miss on? Dre contributed as well. Jim Dre was a solid presence. Maybe Paul McQuiston didn't give you much return or bang for his buck. But, I mean, Ben Tate as well. But you ended up
That's what kept it a B for me.
Yeah.
Is Ben Tate.
I'm going to call it a B+.
After further review.
All right, guys, who starts at quarterback for the Browns on opening day? Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel?
I think it's Josh McCown. After what Coach had to say yesterday. But I think a lot can happen between now and then. And, you know, the X factor is Manziel. When's he able to come back? How soon is he able to learn the new playbook? And we'll go from there.
But. I agree. And I'm going to go Josh McCown and along your same sentiments is because we had John DeFilippo in. He has Johnny expectations for him as a person and growing as a quarterback. And then he has to learn the offense. So he needs to learn to be a pro first and function as a professional and then learn to play quarterback in the National Football League. So I think you may see him this year, but you may not. So, yes, Josh McCown or even someone else could be the opening day starter.
Just for fun, why not? Johnny Manziel is going to come out of rehab. He is the future of this team, and if he comes out a changed man and a dedicated man, he's got the talent to start opening day.
You took him in the first round. That's the only – at some point, you got to see what he can do.
Path of least resistance.
You did. Johnny Manziel.
After further review.
All right, guys, who starts opposite of Joe Hayden at DB in 2015? Is it Justin Gilbert, Peter Desir, or is there somebody else?
And you look at me to start this one.
You've been starting
start
everyone.
It.
It's just continuity. Yeah, but
I'll start this one. I'm going to go with Justin Gilbert, and simply because I think that both Justin Gilbert and Pierre Desir will be on even playing ground even after training camp, but they'll give the nod to Justin Gilbert like all teams do simply because he's a first-round draft pick. He will have the first opportunity to prove that he can play in his second year in the National Football League, and also, too, he'll get the first opportunity to fail, which then you insert Pierre Desir because you know what you're going to get. He has started football games, and again, they walked into the opening season a football game even with each other.
I'm going to go with Gilbert as well. I think he'll be given every opportunity, but Pierre Desir is certainly a dark horse, and it would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form to see him win that job.
I will go wild card and say other.
Somebody that is signed?
Someone maybe not on the roster yet. I think Gilbert could be your starting slot DB.
He's an outside guy. You got K-1 in the slot. They're not signing Revis. That's not happening.
I know they're not signing. Man, where did that come from today?
I don't know. 0%. I mean, just think about the philosophy of this organization.
That's not happening.
And, yeah, 0% chance on Revis.
But I'm going to say other right now.
All right, Gibbs. You said it's like a smirk. What do you know, Gibbs?
I would like to be pleasantly surprised by Justin Gilbert, and I think he's doing the right things. But
yeah, I think you will be.
Right. After further review.
Whoop, my bad.
No, you're good.
All right, guys. Patrick Willis, Hall of Famer or not a Hall of Famer?
No, didn't play long enough.
I concur. Great player. 3 more years at that level. San Francisco 49ers potentially competing for a Super Bowl. Playing in championship-level football games. Him performing at that level in those games would have solidified him as a Hall of Famer, but you're absolutely right. Didn't play long enough. You only got a glimpse. And also, too, I think the West Coast has hurt a player like Patrick Willis from that East Coast perspective because you never got to see him play.
I think he gets in because for multiple years, he was by far the most dominant and impactful player at his position. And if a guy like Jerome Bettis can get in just because he played a long time and was never the most dominant
guy
in his
position.
Why are you
such a Jerome Bettis hater?
Because I think it's absurd that he's in the Hall of Fame. I think it's like a disservice to the Hall of Fame.
Look at his numbers.
Yeah, look at his numbers. What's so great about him?
I just think he had a pretty good career and deserved being in the Hall of Fame.
You think he had that?
I think you're a 49er homer.
You think he had that good of a career? You think Jerome Bettis had that good of a career?
I think he did.
I'm saying, so tell me what's so great about Jerome Bettis' career.
I got to look stuff up.
Look at
on
stats.
My phone
Let's
right
look it
now.
Up right now. Let's go through it right now.
On my Google machine.
So Jerome Bettis had 8,000 yard seasons in his career.
How many years did he play?
And he played 13 seasons. 8,000 yard seasons. He averaged 3.9 yards a carry for his career. In his final 9 seasons in the NFL, he averaged more than 4 yards per carry once. In fact, for his whole career, he averaged more than 4 yards a carry 4 times.
Because he was 260 plus.
He contributed absolutely nothing as a wide receiver. Absolutely nothing as a wide receiver did he contribute.
In a big game, stepped up, made plays. And
he's
was
not
a
Hall of Famer. He was never even close to being the best back in the league in any season that he was in the league. Maybe 1997, he led the league. Or he didn't even lead the league that year. 1,665 yards rushing. Okay, it was a great year. 7 touchdowns, 4.4 yards a carry. That was his best season by far. He had many other seasons where he was quote-unquote the guy, averaging under 65 yards per game rushing. Again, under 4 yards a carry. You're not that good when you're averaging 3. Here's yards per carry per season. 4.9 as a rookie, solid. 3.2 in his second year, 3.5, then 4.5, 4.4, 3.8, 3.6, 3.8, 4.8, 3.6, 3.3, 3.8, 3.3.
See, but
he's not good.
What if part of that's their line? What if it's a bad line?
He's just not a Hall of Famer. I just don't think that he's
like
I just
foaming
don't
at
think
the mouth.
He's any kind of I am foaming at the mouth. I think it's a I think it is an it is one of those where the myth is greater than anything. I mean, he was the rookie of the year in 93, so that was good. He was a first-team All-Pro twice. He made a Pro Bowl 6 times, which is absurd. He just wasn't that good.
What do you think about him?
I think he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I don't think he's he's definitely not a first 5 ballot Hall of Famer.
I would agree with you there. Was not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
But you think about his numbers? Go ahead. Keep going. Go ahead.
He's got over 13,000 yards rushing.
He's 5th in the history of the NFL in career touches. He was a volume guy who wasn't good. Like, you could probably average 3.5 yards a carry in the NFL.
Come on now.
He's got to get from 7 yards deep to the line of scrimmage to actually gain yards.
I really don't think what he has done is all that impressive. I don't think that his career numbers are all that impressive when you look at them. The guy doesn't even average 4 yards a carry for his career.
It's a 3.9. You round
up. It's not even close. The guy was never, you never were like, man, Jerome Bettis. Wow.
No.
Wow.
And
never.
Also, too, towards the end of his career, he always had that compliment runner as well.
Guy only had more than, you think of Jerome Bettis, you think, oh, this is a touchdown guy. Jerome Bettis, he's going to get in the end zone. He only had double-digit touchdowns twice in an era where he was carrying the ball 300 times a game, 300 times a season easily. People don't do that anymore, and these guys are much more productive than he is. It is a great guy, phenomenal guy by all accounts.
Good leader.
Just not a hall of leadership. It's a hall of fame. When you look at it and you say, this is one of the greatest to ever play the game? No. No. No.
No?
No. No.
I don't know.
Frank Gore is a significantly better Hall of Fame candidate.
I bet he says Tony Romo is a Hall of Fame candidate. Frank
Gore is a significantly better Hall of Fame candidate than Jerome Bettis.
Is Tony Romo a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so. I don't think he would be.
Oh, you are
tough. I don't
tough.
Think so. I don't think Tony Romo is a Hall of Famer.
The vault.
Tony Romo's pretty darn good, though.
Would you put him in the same – should Jerome Bettis and Tony Romo be in the same – outside looking in basket?
Yes.
For the Hall
That's
of Fame?
That's good. I mean, Tony Romo's had some phenomenal seasons. You could make a case if you really get into advanced analytics that Tony Romo deserves to make it. I mean, when you look at his 242 touchdowns, 110 interceptions, that's a great ratio. 8 yards per attempt, that's one of the top 10 of all time. Thank you very little. He's also one of the greatest fourth quarter quarterbacks of all time. But I don't think, when I think of every year the greatest quarterbacks, when I think of the greatest quarterbacks, Tony Romo's never in the top three quarterbacks any year that he's in the league.
No.
Now, his stats might be there, but you never still think
of
him. And
has everyone ever won a championship?
No.
You know?
Jerome Bettis is just not a Hall of Famer. He's just not. Frank Gore is a Hall of Famer. Frank Gore, if Jerome Bettis is a Hall of Famer, Frank Gore, who's only played 10 seasons thus far.
And he's 31, correct?
Eight 1,000-yard seasons already. He's already rushed. He's averaged 4.5 yards carry. Never been under 4 yards of carry for his career. Actually contributed as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Is a surefire Hall of Famer.
And, oh, by the way, he's going to be have the next 2 to 3 years, potentially, based on his contract, in Indy with the next best quarterback in line in the National Football League for the next decade.
I just don't think. So, I mean, I like Jerome Bettis, fine human being, great guy. So but Gore Hall of continues. Famer, it's
just so Gore
absurd.
Continues on the same path. Does Gore not get in? And Bettis got in strictly because Bettis won Super Bowls.
What do you mean now? Running backs get in because they win Super Bowls? I thought that's what we're talking about for quarterbacks. That doesn't even make to me. It has no.
It
bearing
makes total on sense.
The guy averaged more than 4 yards a carry for. Times in his career.
If you
think about that. That is insane.
But how many Super Bowls did Bettis win? How many did he
cares?
Go to? He went to three. He won two.
He won
he
one.
He only won one?
Yes.
Oh, there
he was gone when they won down in Arizona. And he almost
out random analytics.
He almost blew it. He fumbled at the goal line against Indy, if I'm not mistaken, and Roethlisberger made that shoestring tackle.
I don't know. I don't remember.
In the Hard Knocks, I remember that, and Bettis was like, give me one more shot, and they ended up winning it.
To I'm
me,
just telling
it
you.
Is,
he
it
won
is,
a Super Bowl, and I
so
think that's why
what?
He get in. I'm telling you.
There is no way that he is a first ballot. Tim Brown was a much more significant player at his position in his era and his day than Jerome Bettis ever was, and he struggled every year to get in. It's ridiculous. Jerome Bettis isn't a very good running back. He's not a Hall of Famer. To me, it's like – it is one of the most mind-boggling decisions of the Hall of Fame committee that I've ever seen.
After further review.
Hot take.
All right, guys. Last but not least.
All right.
Who will DeMarco Murray sign with in free agency?
I have no idea.
As you guys were deliberating about Jerome Bettis in the Hall of Fame, I wrote down a few places, and a lot of it has to do with some movement that's going on recently. I think the New York Jets are in need of a runner. I think the San Francisco 49ers are now in need of a runner to complement Colin Kaepernick. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are in need of a runner. And lastly, Arizona was potentially interested in Shady McCoy, but Bruce Arians said he didn't fit their system. Could DeMarco Murray potentially fit the Arizona Cardinals system?
They're saying they're not interested, but
okay.
You never know.
This is Matt Wilhelm speculation.
Yes.
I just went through divisions in the NFL and I threw
Watch
down
that
some
opinion.
Names. That absolute opinion.
What?
I think DeMarco Murray is going to end up back in Dallas. Jerry Jones' son, Stephen Jones, called up. And
they're trying
to make peace there, make amends. I think that they're going to
front load the contract,
out a way to do
give
that.
Him a bunch of guaranteed money up front.
Yes.
I have a feeling that
didn't Jerome Bettis get in this year? Somebody just tweeted me over
God.
Orlando Pace.
Yes.
Orlando did get in, didn't he?
I think Orlando got in.
Yeah, Orlando got in. Man, I played against him in some AAU pickup games. Basketball.
No, Pace was snubbed.
Hello.
Orlando Pace was snubbed from the Hall of Fame. I'm reading it right now on NFL.com. Orlando Pace is significantly a better and more significant player
I will not disagree
than
with
Jerome
you
Bettis was. That's crazy.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's from Ohio State.
I was going
to
say, Buckeye
or
fans are
done,
calling right now going, well, he played at Ohio State, so he should get in.
Of course, but that goes out the window. He was the best tackle in the
people
NFL.
On Twitter,
he didn't win a
people
Super Bowl.
On Twitter seem to agree with me.
He didn't
as
win
well.
A Super Bowl. He didn't get in. Did not. Yeah. No ring.
Who? Orlando Pace?
Yeah.
Did he win a ring with the Rams?
No.
Of course he did.
Sure.
What are you thinking about? Take your suit. and take your ridiculous opinions right on out of here.
I'm throwing stuff up against
By
the
way,
tree.
Ed Dixon is going back to the Panthers, so we all can be not have to worry about that. So that's good for us. We don't have to worry about
I have
that.
A feeling the Browns are again keeping things close to the vest, but they're working something.
I think you're going to be happy
at the tight end position.
I think you're going to be happy ultimately. All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up here on CBD at 3 o'clock, a special edition free agency frenzy with Tony Grossi live from the IX Center here on ESPN 850. But we'll be back with our final thoughts. We'll hear some from Mike Pettine and take your calls 216-578-0850 on CBD.